Hello, you're welcome. I'm Cara Ward, Heritage Officer in Monaghan County Council, and we're here for another Heritage at the Heart episode. We're joined today by Laurie McDermott in Enniskeen. Laurie McDermott is a local historian and a retired principal here in Enniskeen.
You're very welcome to Enniskeen, Cara. And we're standing in what was once the Church of Ireland on a very historic site. This was the site of an early Celtic monastery built by St. Daig. And it was an island in the River Fane that gave its name to Enniskeen, Inishkeen, Pleasant Island.
So we're going to make our way out of the church now into the burial ground. And as Larry said, this is on the south bank of the River Fane, a beautiful site with a round tower and an early Christian settlement.
Yep. And
on our left here is the round tower. And Larry, what's this on our right?
This large stone enclosure is the burial place of a family whose history is entwined with the history of Ireland. The branch of the family. Let's go over and have a closer look.
Okay, lovely.
Cara, as you can see, it's roughly square. It's 17 feet by 17 feet, or 5 metres by 5 metres. Large stone structure. The walls are 5 foot high. There's a large arch over the front wall with a small stone cross. The lettering is very faint, but it reads, "In hoc signo vinces, in this sign we conquer."
Oh, that's beautiful. It's very impressive. And who is this for, or who were the family?
This was the cemetery of the Plunkett family. Mm-hmm. And as you can see in front of us, there's a large stone with an armorial plaque on it. And it's the coat of arms of the Plunkett family. There's a shield with a bend, that's the diagonal line, and a little castle. And the motto of the Plunketts was, "Be quick without impetuosity." Very apt.
Fantastic.
If you follow their history.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, the arch, the beautiful stone arch above what was the entrance is sealed, but you can look through the arch and inside you see three stone headstones, slate headstones, beautifully carved, and they list some of the history of the people who are buried here, the Plunketts, or as they're known locally, the Plunkett Kennys, mm-hmm. A local landlord family.
Okay, and where were they from? Just out the road, was it?
Yes, they lived at Rock Savage. But I thought for a moment, Terry, you were asking me where were the Plunketts from.
Originally.
They were a French family that came over with the Normans to England and then on to Ireland. Mm-hmm. And through conquest and very suitable marriages, they acquired vast tracts of land and titles in Ireland.
And when did they come to Ireland?
They came, we think, right around the time of Strongbow, in the 12th century.
So they have a long history in this area.
A long history in the area.
In Ireland.
In Ireland. And you had titles like the Earl of Fingal, mm-hmm. Lord Dunsany, Lord Killeen, Lord Louth. And this family here are a branch of Lord Louth's family. Mm-hmm. They also were Earls of Roscommon. And of course, when you hear the name Plunkett, we automatically think of St. Oliver Plunkett. Mm-hmm. He was a member of the Westmead branch.
Oh, right. So an illustrious family. And who now, do we have buried
inside,
in here?
Inside, we have the headstones and the detail, the various members of the family that are buried there.
So we'll walk around the back mm-hmm. of the enclosure now just to see.
You see that the stone wall is roughly 2 feet thick with large sandstone slabs.
Yeah.
Notice the indentations here in the stonework.
Oh yes, were they for railings, Larry?
They possibly were, because at the time that the cemetery here was being used, there was a practice, as you know, in Ireland, a gruesome practice of resurrecting bodies for medical purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So to prevent grave robbers, they may have had railings on top of the, uh-huh. as I say, the 5 foot high wall.
The River Fane is just here. You can hear
Fane
it to the left.
The trickling past. It's beautiful. There's a lovely walk along the Fane. It's part of the Monaghan Way walk.
And anyone can come here and visit.
It's wide open to the public.
Yeah.
And you can see it was well named Inneskeen, Pleasant Island. It's still pleasant today. Yes. We can hear in the distance the traffic, but it's a different world when you come in
it
here.
It is, it's fabulous.
In the graveyard there are old slabs, various families. This is a mixed graveyard. It was Church of Ireland and Catholic.
And it's closed now?
It's closed now. I don't think there's been any recent burial that I'm aware of.
And do you use it for community?
The church itself has been restored and re-roofed, and it's been used as a community facility. Here we have a reminder that Inneskeen was once a railway junction.
Oh, we have the railway sleepers and the iron tracks, part of the tracks
part
here.
Part of the track. And in fact, the railway line was just across the river from us. And there was a large station there. It was a junction on the Great North Line from Dublin to Derry.
Right.
And there was a branch line to Carrickmacross.
And when did it close?
It closed around in the late 1950s.
Right.
And the rails were lifted. But today you can walk a section of the track. It's still part of the Monaghan Way Walk.
Oh, fantastic. It was well connected at that time. And is it being used now? Is the vault itself is in good nick? But
it's in good shape. It needs some restoration.
It needs a little
work.
Bit of
work. Yes. Yep. Here, this reminds us that there's a lot of rock art in this area.
Yes.
Prehistoric rock art. Mm-hmm. And here we have the spirals. And then you get the cup and ring marks.
Yeah.
So there's history, no matter what stone you turn up, there's a bit of history to be found.
The slab was reused and maybe reused as a grave slab,
And that one is actually, yes, some of them were that happened, but that particular one is a replica that was used in the cabinet centre for years.
Right.
So because the site of the rock art, it's on private land.
Oh, I see.
And generally not open to the public. Let's go back into the church.
Right, we'll go back in and have a look at some of the rubbings you've done of the burial stones or the grave slabs.
Now, when I was outside in the cemetery, in the enclosure, were three beautiful slate headstones. This one here is to the memory of Joseph Plunkett, Rock Savage Esquire, son of Captain James, grandson of Colonel the Honourable Ignatius Plunkett, born at Rock Savage, A.D. 1699, died at Sleeve, 9th of September, 1771. Ignatius Plunkett was the younger son of Lord Louth, and along with his cousin Matthew, the Baron Louth, they were in command of the mortars at the siege of Derry.
Oh, right.
And the families were military people, naturally enough.
Uh-huh.
And another link with the past here, it mentions Charlotte, wife of the above Ignatius.
Uh-huh.
She was a granddaughter, great-granddaughter, of another famous man, Theobald Taaffe, the first Earl of Carlingford, personal friend of King Charles II, and his descendants ended up working in high office in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So they're very proud of the thing. And it was a wish of Joseph Plunkett, who repaired the cemetery, that this ancient race may not be forgotten. This stone is placed over their remains by their grandson, Joseph Plunkett, A.D. 1855.
Wow, it's some length of history.
Now, this is actually a rubbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rubbing of the headstone. You take an architect's detail paper and heel ball, which is a wax that was used by cobblers. Very apt when you think of it. Patrick Cavanagh served his time as a cobbler.
Yes.
And you rub it back and forth as children, you probably done it, we used to do it with the pennies.
Bit of chalk
and you get a penny, and you get a perfect print, especially if it's on slate.
Absolutely.
And of course, the top
here,
we have the IHS emblem again and the rising sun in hoc signo.
Did you take these yourself, Larry?
Yes. And
you have a collection of them?
I have a large collection of them.
There's a few more over here. Oh, we can have a look.
The language, you might find it. I mentioned now that they're known also as the Plunkett Kennies because later generations, they married into the Kenny family. Beneath the stone is the remains of what once was Charlotte Kenny, beautiful and accomplished.
Endowed by nature with a masculine understanding and the feeling heart of woman, she was admired by the world, beloved by her friends, adored by the family of which, from early youth to her latest hour, she was the ornament and the happiness. To snatch from oblivion a cherished name, this stone is inscribed to her memory by a brother who yet mourns his earliest friend. Isn't that just beautiful?
Isn't it lovely?
Wouldn't you love somebody to do a tribute like that to you?
Yeah.
She must have been...
She was much loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a hint, too, to the occupation of a lot of the Plunketts, the magistrates.
The magistrate.
And in fact, the first Catholic magistrate, or to serve in the grand jury, when there's a relaxation of penal laws, was Joseph Plunkett. And the other one was one of the Callaghans of Colville. A little bit more about the Plunkett family. As I said, there were landlords, minor landlords in this area. Mm-hmm. They had an estate of about 2,000 something acres. Mm-hmm. And in the 1880s, the Land League and the tenants, the relationship between the Plunketts and the tenants broke down. Mm-hmm. The tenants wanted a reduction in their rent. Plunkett Kenny, the landlord, was not agreeable. So the first boycott in County Monaghan was used against the Plunkett Kennys. Mm-hmm. But shortly afterwards, both sides were very embarrassed by it, and an agreement was reached where the rent was reduced by 25% and peace was restored.
And people went back to work for them.
The Kavanagh family, by the way, were tenants on the... their ancestors were tenants on the Plunkett Kenny estate. And Patrick, in the 1930s, leased a field from the Plunkett Kennys, and it inspired him to write a beautiful poem, Spraying the Potatoes.
Can you give us a wee bit of that poem?
I'll try. The barrels of blue potato spray stood on a headland of July beside an orchard wall where roses were young girls hanging from the sky. The flocks of green potato stalks were blossom spread for sudden flight. The Kerr pinks in a frittle blue, the Arran banners wearing white. The orchard wall that was mentioned in the poem is still standing. It was the orchard attached to the house, Rock Savage.
And is the house itself still there, or are the houses?
Unfortunately, the last of the Plunkett Kennys died in the 1960s, and they had sold, or the Land Commission had taken most of the land in the 1930s. They sold off the remaining land, and as I say, the family died out in the 1960s.
Okay, and this final rubbing here, can you tell me about it, Larry? Is this a later one, or is it from the same kind of period?
It's from a similar period. Yep. To the memory of James Plunkett, eldest son of Joseph and Charlotte Plunkett, born at Rock Savage in 1730, died there on the 16th of January 1808, aged 77 years. Uh-huh. My, that was good age,
right,
that
age.
Period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beloved by the poor, respected by all, revered and lamented by his family, Bridget, his wife, daughter of Henry Piers, Esquire of Lissacre, County Westmeath. She died at Rock Savage in 1814, aged 58 years.
A woman, good without pretense, blessed with plain reason and with sober sense, passion and pride were to her soul unknown. Here in such a mind, with sharpest sorrow, sustained it, but the woman died. Anne and Joseph Plunkett, moved by feelings of filial piety, have caused the stone to be placed over the remains of their wept and honoured parents, A.D. 1855. May they rest in peace.
So there's a little touch of poetry there.
There is indeed.
Not great verse, but nevertheless, we know the what we're trying to say. They're revered and lamented parents.
It's beautiful. So, Larry, thank you so much for explaining this place to us. I think it'll inspire people to come and visit. It's such a wonderful place.
Hopefully it will. Yeah. And it's part of the heritage that inspired Kavanagh to write his beautiful poetry.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.